R.W. Apple Jr. is remembered in the New York Times today as a man with a Dickensian byline, Churchillian brio, and Falstaffian appetites. The legendary New York Times correspondent died early this morning in Washington at the age of 71. He had thoracic cancer. Over his 43 years at the Times, he served as bureau chief in Saigon during the Vietnam War, also in London, Moscow, Nairobi, and Washington, where he extracted the juice of political campaigns time and again. He was known to all as Johnny Apple, and he was famously an eater and a drinker of gargantuan proportion. And those stories, too, were in the Times, the search for the perfect Cuban sandwich in Miami, the top bratwurst in Sheboygan, or the ultimate scrambled eggs in Sydney. The writer Calvin Trillin has known Johnny Apple for many years and profiled him several years ago for The New Yorker. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Could anybody keep up with Johnny Apple at the table?
I fortunately never tried doing that. He was, when it came to eating and to reporting, he was indefatigable.
I was reading a piece he had written about a trip to Cajun country in Louisiana. He was going for lunch, and he wrote, "I had already eaten a lot. I might say I had already eaten breakfast and brunch, but that would be a lie. In fact, this was my third lunch of the day. There is so much good food in Acadiana that sometimes you have to extend yourself."
You know, one of his nicknames was Three Lunches Apple, and he kind of enjoyed that. It was part of, I think, an extraordinary level of energy that he had. I remember when a friend of mine from one of the British papers called. He was stationed in New York, and he said, R.W. Apple has been assigned as the new London bureau chief for the New York Times. What's he like? And I said, well, I think if you added up the energy wattage of the entire staff of, say, the Sunday Observer or the Guardian or the Times of London, you would have the energy of about two-thirds of an apple. He really kept going, whether it was the number of phone calls he made to the county chairman or the number of appetizers he thought we should have.
He thrived on politics and on political campaigns, and one thing that a lot of people cite is that he took Jimmy Carter seriously in his campaign before any others did.
Yeah, he did. Also, he took the Iowa caucuses seriously before, and those were sort of linked. And most of the people I talked to in writing about him thought that he should have gotten the Pulitzer Prize that year. He didn't get the Pulitzer Prize, and he never got the Pulitzer Prize, in fact. But they all thought that on that particular campaign, he pretty much, as one of them said, ran circles around everybody else. He was interested in politics, but he was interested in the game rather than the ideology. He really didn't have strong political views. He was much more interested in the story, like most reporters.
I think you've got to love a guy who will start a political piece this way, which he did in 1995. Here's his lead sentence. "Iowa is still flat and friendly, and people here still treasure their pork tenderloin sandwiches."
Yeah, he always worked in a little food imagery. And of course, he never sort of decided that that no matter where he was, in whatever remote place he was, that he should compromise at all about eating or drinking. And I mentioned that he was likely to send the wine back and get a better bottle, even if it would be the best bottle in that part of Alabama. He didn't really care whether he was there or in Florence.
Calvin Trillin, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
New Yorker writer Calvin Trillin remembering his longtime friend R.W. Apple Jr., known as Johnny, the longtime New York Times correspondent. He died this morning at the age of 71.